Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? That was awkward. I was in the kitchen getting some water. Y'all just gonna have to listen to my water run real quick. Why didn't the music start up?
Tell me.
Once again, why tight radios on that fuck shit? I had the music set up. It was supposed to play for 5 more minutes. I'm getting my water. I'm sitting here like, I don't hear anything.
Welcome to CP Tie Radio.
Watch the music kick in as we're talking. Hey, everybody. Hey, everyone in the chat room and everybody on the phone lines listening in. I'm making my way back to my bedroom. Forgive me for not being prepared. I just assumed the music would play like I advised it to. Okay. I'm back in my bedroom. I was working out, so I got really thirsty, and I needed some water. I needed some more water. But it's been a long time since we've done Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
It's been like, what, 6 months?
Oh, around that time, around that time. You know, a nice little break, so to speak.
I'm starting to see a few people in the chat room. Devin's in there, and Sean, and Thomas, VH1 Access, and we have a few guests and stuff in there as well, so I'm glad to see everybody's doing good. It's been a long time. It's been crazy. I've missed doing the show. You know, I had to take a break. There was a lot of stuff going on with the technical aspect of Blog Talk Radio, and then I was in the middle of moving, and then the whole thing happened with my YouTube channel getting suspended, and it's been a mess, but everything is on the up and up. So I was like, you know what, everything is getting better. Everything's turning itself around. Let's go ahead and start going back to Blog Talk Radio because I think that's where I have my most fun because I got to know so many of you guys outside of YouTube and, you know, just became like a family. So I definitely missed it over the past few months.
I miss it as well. It's kind of different. You know, on Wednesdays I get up and, like, think we would be doing a show and then, like, I look at the schedule and it's not there. So it's been pretty different since we last did the show. But I'm glad that we're back on air again. It's needed.
Right. And this time they have a technical number, a 1-800 number that we can call. So in the event some more stuff goes down, hopefully we can talk to a human being and it's not a bunch of, you know, emailing back and forth. So other than that, what have you been up to these past few months?
Well, I have moved from Houston to Indianapolis. I have pending knee surgery, and basically I've changed quite a few things offline and been doing quite a few radio shows here and there and definitely getting ready to work for myself as far as a freelance graphic designer, like full-time. So there's been a whole lot happening. Uh-huh.
That's what's up. That's how it should be. There should always be something going on. Not want to just be stagnant and comfortable. You know, as you guys know, I've been through quite a bit these past few 6 months. You know, like I said, I have moved and I'm in this place. But, you know, just busy with the kids. I started doing the whole T25 workout. My body coach is Miss Nikki. So I started it this week, so I'm doing a vlog on that, and that's going to be on YouTube coming up. So it's been a really good, you know, experience so far. It's been a lot of work, and I'm sore as hell, but it's worth it. And then between that, my son just started basketball, so he has practice every day. My youngest son is in floor hockey, and he has that twice a week. So it's like I'm busy just doing everything and trying to keep them in activities and keep them grounded. So it's been a lot. That's why I'm thinking that we're probably going to do the shows on Fridays, because I think Fridays are going to be easier for me just because during the week between trying to, you know, get videos up there and edit and stuff like that, it's just a lot. But on Fridays, because most of the time I don't have to work on the weekends, so I think our permanent slot for this season is going to be Friday nights at 9 o'clock, which I think is going to be a lot easier for you guys as well because y'all don't have to get up in the morning, especially people on the East Coast, you know, because I know that was an issue where they'd be up to like midnight listening to the show. So y'all will be able to find us here on Friday nights.
Change of pace. So welcome, change of pace. That's,
right.
Wednesday was cool.
So let's go.
I say Wednesday was cool, but like Friday, like I said, you're going to compete with anybody anyway. It's all about content. It's going to make or break the show.
Right. Yeah, I just figured Fridays would just be a little bit easier because I can wind down. Like right now, the kids are knocked out. They came home from, my oldest came home from basketball practice. We had dinner. We talked for a little bit, and I went to go get ready for my workout. Like, oh, who's working out with me? They was both knocked out in the bed. I said, oh, okay, so it's just me, huh? They were sweet. They knocked out now. I'm like, wow, so they must have been really wore out because usually they'll stay up on Friday nights, but they must have been tired. So we can go ahead. Let's get the show started. Lots of crazy things going on this week. Lots of stuff in the news, lots of relationship issues. So let's start tackling all this stuff that's going on out here. Let's go ahead and start with the whole Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union situation, because I know everybody is still talking about that. You know, the whole, and then not even that, the whole Ludacris situation with Exodus and the jump off that he got pregnant. And what is it with all these guys out here who have money, who have all this money to trick off and buy cars, but for whatever reason they can't afford a 25-cent condom?
First of all, you don't want a 25-cent condom. Second, there's a lot of bad decisions made. I mean, like, you're not supposed to get your side chick pregnant. And two, with the whole Gabrielle Union situation, she got pregnant, I guess. There's a lot of reasons why she got pregnant, but again, like, she was a side.
Is she really pregnant, or is that a rumor? Because I've been hearing that she's pregnant, but then other people are saying that it's a rumor.
Well, it's a belief that she's pregnant, but who knows? I lost count, like, the past few weeks. I really lost count. It's just been too much going on in there. The side chick wrote a letter talking shit about basically being in the house, you know, and laying up with dude, but then it all comes down to the common denominator. Why is she allowing this? Is she doing this, you know, to remain relevant or for other reasons that are not becoming of her, you know, as a woman? It just makes no sense to me with all this goofy stuff going on. It really doesn't.
I mean, it's just a bunch of rich folk hood drama. I think all these people are the perfect example. If you can take folks out the hood, you can take them out the projects, you can take them out of low-income housing, wherever the hell these people were staying at before they made it big, but they still have that, you know, that hood-ass mentality. You know, a bunch of kids, different people, you know, just running through females like he ain't never had no female before. It's just kind of sad that somebody with that much money wouldn't want to protect their assets a little bit better. And then with the Ludacris, I'm very disappointed in him. Now, the jump off is trying to take him back to court because they feel like she feels like he should be paying a lot more than $1,700 a month. He wants to put the limit at $1,700 a month for her child support. But they're saying that with that whole movie that he did, the whole Fast and the Furious series that he just got done doing, that Fast and the Furious 6 with Paul Walker and all them this past summer, he brought in millions of dollars. So she's saying if you can buy a $5 million house and, you know, bring in all this money, how dare you try and only pay me $1,700 a month for our child? But it's like they're never these chicks. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's his money. You didn't work for that. But then again, I don't feel bad for him either because why did you not protect your asset from somebody who would take you to court and try and get you for every last, you know, bit of your money? I mean, it's like to me, like I said in that video, it's a straight-up hustle now. And these guys just steadily keep falling for it.
Yeah. It's happened to Sean Kemp. It's happened to a legion of guys who, they have like a 2020 like hindsight for them for some reason. It's like they haven't learned from the last lessons. And the nerve of these side chicks asking for extra money when really they're treating their children like unemployment vouchers. Like I've always been preaching last year, so If you're not willing to learn, then okay, then that's on you. I guess you got money to pay for your mistakes. I hope they got plenty. I hope so.
I mean, they definitely do. I mean, they can afford it. I mean, you want to have all these kids out here, you know, by random people. You have no choice. You know, but I just think the whole situation is just sad, and it says a lot, because when you think about it, look at all these guys out here who have so many females pregnant. Look at T.O. I mean, he got about 5 kids. He got kids every color of the dang on rainbow. And don't see them. He thinks child support equates taking care of his kids. And it's sad because it's not these kids' fault, but they're missing out on having that father-son or father-daughter relationship because of how they were conceived. You know, so it's really sad when people do that. Devin is in the chat room saying the same thing with the dude who got that chick, Evelyn Lozada, pregnant. Boom, right there. And everybody knows she's a known gold digger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just feel like a lot of, and you know what, I think I'm to a point, like me and you talked the other day, like I always say, I feel like hoes stay winning. You know, people talk as much shit as they want to talk about Evelyn and all these other girls and, you know, Amber Rose and Kim Kardashian, but when you look at them, it's like, damn, like they steadily hitting the damn, you know, lottery when it comes to these guys, you know, it's crazy.
Really, we've been going back and forth on this whole thing, and I argue
for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, but I still have the same stance. Hoes are not winning. These chicks are getting a vaginal allotment. That's all they're doing. Anytime they get a little money, that's nothing. They don't have a home. They can get a house, but they don't have a home. They don't have any. Every time they get into the news, there's nothing redeeming with these chicks. You can't say to Gabrielle Union that she's been making good decisions. And I like the chick, but the decisions she's been making have been very questionable. And, you know, with Evelyn and all these other chicken heads out here personally, they're trying to get paid off their bad decisions. It's no different than some of these chicks out here dealing with these 100-airs, like borrowing kids and using them as tax time. I mean, tax time and getting that little hustle money. It's no different. They're not winning. You could put a ring on it, but what does it mean?
Right. And, you know, and like I said, you know, a lot of folks are like, why isn't Gabrielle Union leaving? And I broke it down in the video. She's not going anywhere. You know, she's at a point in her life now because society deems, like, you know, once you're a female, you get to a certain age, like you're just old as hell. So she kind of feels like she has to be stuck, or that, you know, look at Dwayne Wade's star power. You know, he's definitely elevated her star power just with his, you know, everything that he does in the NBA and the books that he writes and all that other stuff. So it's almost like for her, she's not going to leave that situation because she knows if she leaves, he's just going to go on ahead and spoil the next chick, and, you know, the next chick would just take her place. So, I mean, it's kind of sad that people get themselves in that type of situation. But then I think, I know when I talk to, like, a lot of females about it, from the female aspect, a lot of girls look at it, too, like, you know what, I'd rather be in that type of situation and be comfortable than be in this, you know, ratchet hood situation and be broke and not having nothing. So I think that's why a lot of girls are looking at that, like, you know, that's the new hustle, that's the way to go. Why have a baby by some ratchet dude on the block or some dope boy when I can try and get pregnant by Lil Wayne? Look at Sarah, the girl that got pregnant by Lil Wayne. That bitch was doing nails. Now she's living good, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of girls are looking at this like, you know, this is a way to come up. Not only do you have a famous baby father, you can brag and say that you have his child, and now you're good. But it's sad that we're willing to sell ourselves that short. So there's a value.
But look at this. Like, you say they're living good. That's like going from ramen noodles to steakums. It's not much of a come-up, really, if you look at it. I mean, it's like, when she got that child, we'll look at the Peter Gunn situation. He married the side chick, and she's still getting treated like a side chick. Plus, he's jumping around with the other side chick. Both of them look like retards.
Right.
No one's winning that. Nobody's winning there. They aren't.
Well, again, Peter Gunn is broke. I mean, they're all broke. Lena was on Twitter talking about she couldn't even watch the episode because she didn't have a TV. Where she was at, because I think she's been deported or she's in Germany or something. But she was saying she didn't have a TV. It's like all these folks on that show literally sold their soul just to get onto that show. And all it did was just make them just look horrible. You know, they just all look like trash on that show. But, I mean, as far as these people getting with these celebrities and stuff like that, I mean, you got to admit, though, it is more of a come-up than regular. You can say it's gone from, you know, ramen noodle to top ramen. It's still more of a come up. And that's how a lot of girls are looking at it. I'm just being very honest. That's how a lot of girls are looking at it. I've heard girls even say, man, I wish I didn't get pregnant by my baby's father. If I'd have known it was going to be like this with folks getting paid, I'd have been trying to Ben snatch me up a ball player, Ben snatch me up a football player, this, this, and that. Because it's like the dudes just are so free with the damn dick. It's crazy. And I'm not saying it wasn't happening back in the 80s because, you know, we didn't have social media. You didn't have all these groupie attention whores who put their stuff out there all the time. You know, so I'm not saying it didn't happen back then, but it just seems like now it's just the norm. Look at Adrian Peterson. Look how many kids it came out that that man had. And what, Adrian Peterson is what, 26, 27 years old? And we only knew about the two that were with his, I don't even think he had any kids by the fiance, but we only knew about the two kids that he had, the boy and the girl. That's the only ones that folks in Minnesota really knew he had. But then when that other child died, that's when everything came out. So then you got to ask yourself, you know, yes, it's easy to blame the women and going on the women as well, but it's almost like, why are these guys not respecting themselves as well? Like, why would you want to just have a child by some random chick in a random city that you don't plan on ever seeing again, and then 9 months later she's dragging you into child support court?
Well, I can't really give any sympathy to the athletes because they've been given courses as soon as they get in the NBA, even like around draft night. They get those courses, not too far from draft night, they get those courses in like saying you what to do with groupies and all this mess and what to avoid with different examples. Now, if they step outside that and, you know, mess themselves up, you know, be like an Antonio Cromartie and have 11 kids or whatnot, that's on them. It's kind of sad where you say, like, you know, these chicks are winning, but it's kind of sad when a player has to get borrowed money in order to pay for all these little hood boogers that he didn't spawn out. Again, like, there's nobody winning from this, especially when you're like a baby mom that's part of the Shorty Low clique, or this, knowing that this guy has a he has a gang of kids, and you're just in this little web of influence that you just got knocked up by him, and y'all got this weird connection. Like, your kid's a side baby. And like I said, like, I don't understand how women view that this is winning. They're not. Even if he's famous or has money, you're a part of this little clusterfuck. That's not winning. It just ain't.
Right. I mean, I see your point, you know, but it is very frustrating, you know, I think for a lot of girls out here. Crystal's even saying in the chat room, she's saying to her, she feels at the end of the day, once the doors are closed, are you really happy? I feel like a lot of people aren't. And that's the truth. You know, a lot of people put up facades. A lot of people put up, you know, certain images of what they think it means to be happy. And I think because so many of us live our lives vicariously through celebrities and through what they deem as cool and what they deem as acceptable, people think that that's life. You know, and that's why I said, again, you never go off of somebody's relationship in the press. You never go off of a picture because you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You know, I've known girls who I thought they were in the perfect relationship. I thought they had a good man and everything else. And I was almost literally, like, jealous. Like, man, you're so lucky. You know, you have the perfect guy. He's such a good father and this, this, and that. And come to find out, she was getting her ass kicked all the fucking time. If she even looked like she was going to say something back, he would put his foot off on her ass. So that's the thing. You never know what folks are really going through. So we should never be envious of anybody or think that, you know, their life is so perfect, because we all go through things in relationships, regular folks and celebrities. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, we're all humans, so relationships come, relationships go. But I just think, like, I think part of it is because everything's so open now. There is, like we said a long time ago, we were saying this 2-3 years ago, there's no more shame. There's just no shame anymore. Shame is a thing of the past. I don't care what nobody says. There's none.
Sadly.
Just think about it. If this was like in the 80s or even back in the day and you got pregnant by somebody that was not your husband or that you knew for a fact was with somebody else, you kept that shit to yourself. A lot of times you just left it alone.
Yeah, they sent you down south. They sent you down south.
Right. Think about, what's his name, T.O. Think about how T.O. grew up. That was the norm. A lot of folks are like, oh, that's messed up. Nah, that was the norm back then. The mother, who was a teenager, so I can't really fault her because T.O.'s father was a grown-ass man molesting that girl, okay? The mother was only 16 when her neighbor was creeping over to her house to go get her and was dicking her down. That's how she got pregnant with T.O. That man lived across the street for 9 years from T.O. and never once acknowledged his son, never once did anything. There were whispers in the community that that might have been his child, but the mother didn't speak up on it. No one spoke up on it until he got older. T.O. didn't know anything, and that's how a lot of stuff went. But it's like nowadays, shit, as soon as you be having girls in the dang on mirror on Instagram with the, what is that, the little pee test when you pee on the stick, the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
With the pregnancy test in hand, like, I'm pregnant. You know, it's like, I don't know. Times have really changed. Like, there's no shame anymore. They don't care if they're pregnant by your husband or the next man. You know, they're about to come up. That's how some people's mentalities are. Not all, but just, you know, just some.
Well, look at the Sean Kemp situation, like, years ago, where he had sex with one chick, and she basically sold his sperm to 7 other different women. And they got
pregnant. Oh, I didn't hear about that.
And then when they went to court, that DNA test and everything, he ain't even touched most of them girls. And he had to pay, and he basically had to pay child support for all that. So you had to be careful.
Is that real or is that some type of conspiracy? I've never heard that. This
is
real? Fellas in the chat room, is this real or is Rona just reaching?
No, I'm not reaching. No, I'm dead serious. It's real.
Are you serious, Cheryl?
Yeah, it's real.
Okay,
I mean,
so he slept with the chick. Did he know the chick or was it just some random girl?
Some random chick, I guess. I mean, just out there.
And she, what, so what, she saved the sperm and just shared it with her friends?
Yes. Sold it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, Sean, go ahead and Google, and you post me the link in the chat room. We got to verify this story. I didn't know that. When did this take place, in the 90s?
This was, like, yeah, around the 90s, like, because at one time, like, Sean Kemp, he was in, you know, his prime, you know, doing his thing, and, of course, with groupies, sitting there fucking around and you get caught up, there it is. You know, it's sad that it happens that way. You know, now dude's broke right now, I guess. I mean, it's like when you're at that, when you have like that opportunity to be a celebrity and whatnot, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with yourself and within how you represent yourself. And too often, a lot of people allow themselves to get gassed up. They'll sit there and buy people's attention. They surround themselves with yes men and yes women or whatever, and they like being told that they're great, but at what cost? And that's why I said the whole thing, where it goes back to the whole, when women say that hoes are winning, what sense does it make to you finally, you know, being married and getting the ring, but every night you're not sure who this person's going to bring back. You don't know if this person is sleeping with somebody else, if this person's going to bring you back an STD, or how are you going to hear it in the newspaper, or just all around there's no peace at all. There's no sense of dignity, no nothing. It's like when they look at you, you're just like the extra. They don't even recall you as a wife or anything respectful. Just doesn't. So
That's deep. We had somebody on hold. It looks like somebody's calling in from 414 area code. 414, I'm going to go ahead and let you in on the line. 414.
What it do?
What up? Who is this?
What it do? This is Track Lacer calling from Milwaukee.
What's up, Track? How you been?
I've been maintaining. Just wanted to respectfully disagree with your co-host. Is it Sean?
No, it's Ronan.
Oh, Ronan, okay. Wanted to respectfully disagree with Ronan. Not only are hoes winning, they are winning lovely out here. Let's take Amber Rose, for example. Amber Rose was just a common Philly hood rat, just like Charlie Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. She was up on the pole. She had the bald head. Somebody got in her ear and said, "You too pretty to be on this pole." She was messing with Cassidy. Like, Cassidy is C-list. I could probably sell out a show quicker than Cassidy right about now. She was messing with Cassidy. Like whatever was in her reach, you know, whatever was in her Philly reach at the time. So somebody got her ear, and she worked her way up to Kanye West. She knew Kanye West wasn't trying to either wife her or have a kid with her. And she just moved on to the next cat in the rap game. And he was so happy to have her that he's trying to fight Kanye West over. And not only did he have a baby with her, but he married her. So he on the hook. Mm. Like, Wiz Khalifa got to do alimony if they break up for any reason. So she just went to the Charlie Baltimore School of Coming Up. And that's where a lot of young ladies are at right now. You know, they just feel like that's the move. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, so I really feel like they are winning because, you know, it's undefeated. That's one thing. Death, taxes, and women, a man is always going to fall. If that's what the woman is on and that's what she's trying to do, she always going to be able to find somebody. You know, she may not be able to get
power. And a lot of girls in the chat room are agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Once she sets her mark on somebody, Lovely T and Ronan, once a female that's trying to do that set their mark on somebody, it's a wrap. Kanye West was wearing shags. That's how bad Amber Rose had him out here. He was a grown man back in 2009 wearing shags in the back of his head still. You know what I'm saying? So the ladies are still getting it, man. It's just a matter. What it really comes down to, where is the self-worth going to come from? Because right now, Amber Rose is just a prototype of this is what I got to do. Like, if I'm really trying to come up, it don't matter how pretty I am, it don't matter how smart I am, I got to shake my ass, I got to get the attention of one of these athletes or these rappers, and I got to either make him marry me or have a baby by him, and then it's a wrap, and I don't got to work no more.
Right. I mean, look at China Black, or Black China. Is that Black China, Tiger's baby mama? She's another one. You look at her before picture, she didn't have that big old ass. She went and got some ass injections, joined the strip club, got a bunch of tattoos, got to follow him around. And now she done had Baby by Tiger. She's Kim Kardashian's best friend. She's jet setting. So people are looking at that. That's what the next generation of girls are looking at. That's all I'm saying. They're not looking at the Michelle Obamas. They're not looking at, you know, the Oprah Winfreys, because that's too much hard work. You get what I'm saying? It's too much hard work to be smart. It's too much hard work to try and go to school and better yourself and get a degree. Folks want shit easy. We live in a microwave society. Folks have shortest attention spans, and they want things to just fall in their lap. So if I can just go pay this chick down the street $3 stacks to inject my ass with some silicone, and then I can just go and be at all the, you know, Timberwolves games, or, you know, fly down to Miami and go hit up all the clubs and hope I bump into Drake or hope I bump into Lil Wayne, that's what a lot of these girls are on. And now they don't even have to leave the comfort of their home. All they got to do is just post up Instagram pictures taking ass shots all day.
Yeah, that's not a modeling studio right there. I don't know why they try to use Instagram for that. I really don't.
It's like everybody's a model now. It's like, Lord have mercy. But y'all seen that Drake got caught up the other day. He was he had some chick on Instagram who was posing in her panties, some weird-looking girl. She has real pretty eyes. And
with a bunch of freckles on her face.
Yeah, with a bunch of freckles. Yeah, she looked real weird, but, you know, she's pretty good. Just a lot of freckles. But he meant to send her a DM. He don't send her a message, but it went to all his millions of followers. You know what I mean? So now everybody's hunting to find out who this chick is. Gossip is doing articles on her. She's all over media takeout. You know, DJ Vlad got articles up on her. And this was just some random chick on the Internet. You get what I'm saying? So that's the new hustle. It's easy to just put on some panties, take some real sexy pictures, post it up on Instagram, and hope that a celebrity like Drake or somebody runs across your picture and sends you a DM. That's all these girls are on. When they message these celebrities, they're not messaging them saying, oh, I love your music and I'm your biggest fan. I want to suck. I want to fuck. I want your baby. I want this, this, and that. I'm down. Come pick me up. Send me a plane ticket, and they're gone. They don't even think twice about it. Dollar alert. That's all them hoes talk about on that website.
And then y'all will have to educate me, because I don't know the context of how she said it. But then what other type of role model is Gabrielle Union if D-Wade did this? And I'm like I said, y'all got to educate me because I don't know the whole context. But she was apologizing for the nigga? She was making an excuse for him, saying it was her fault?
Yep, that just came out today. Yep. She was saying it was her fault that she wanted to take a break. She felt like he was pressuring her to have a child, and she wanted to put her career first. So she felt like it was her fault. So that tells you right there what her ass is on. This is a woman who's in her 40s. But then we get mad at young girls when they don't leave an abusive relationship. But you got a grown woman in her 40s supposed to be a role model. When people think about pretty dark-skinned women, the first name you always hear is Gabrielle Union. So she's definitely a role model to a lot of people. You feel me? And so when you got her out here cooning and crying and acting stupid for the white media about how it's her fault and how she should have done better, what does it, what type of examples does that set to young girls when they're in a messed up situation and now they don't want to leave? They think it's their fault.
That's why I sit here and argue, like, how are they winning? When you're looking at Gabrielle Union and making excuses for an entire clusterfuck of this. She's trying to have a baby. Dwayne's fucking with, got a side baby. The ex-wife, she already got two kids and showing the fuck out. There's a whole lot of mess with this shit. And maybe you might have one or two who might come up from nothing to something. Very few. It's not across the board. It just isn't. I'm just not seeing a lot of winners out here. You'll get some, some bronze trophy winners. I'm not seeing nothing gold. Just not.
I mean, you're right. You're right, because you do got some of the bitter girls too. They'll have a celebrity fly them out, they'll get fucked, and then they'll get mad, and then they'll write media takeout. And they'll have all the pictures, the DMs, the cell phone messages, because another athlete just got busted out last week by some groupie, pretty girl too. He found her on Instagram, said she had a nice body, flew her out to come see him. She had sex with him unprotected, no condom. She admitted all this. And then basically she said that she found out after the fact that he had a girlfriend and now she's mad, so she's busting him out to all the blogs. She had all the pictures, messages, everything. So she wasn't lying. She wasn't lying. Yeah. So you're right, Ronan. Everybody is not turning into an Amber Rose, but these girls got it in their mind that if they can't mess with the right athlete or get pregnant or whatever, then they'll have that same lifestyle as an Amber Rose or Kim Kardashian or, whoever is the latest flavor of the week video, vixen. But what a lot of girls are finding out is that, no, you're just a one-hit wonder. And unless you end up, supposedly getting pregnant by one of these guys, you're probably not going to hear back from them.
It's nothing but an explosion of new age hoes nowadays, where they basically prostitute themselves for what? Some significance? Like, say someone, I fuck such and such, but you had to hit these many dudes to get to this dude. You basically have a vagina fax that's running out of paper. At what cost? That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, if you're winning, you'll pay the cost to be the boss. Right now, you just getting ran through from the mailroom and not going any further. That's it.
Yep. In the chat room, Devin said that the dude who I was talking about is New York Jets, Geno Smith. That's who it was. She put Geno Smith.
I heard about this.
You heard about that? Right. And she's upset.
Yeah.
She thought she was gonna be living that Amber Rose lifestyle. And Geno Smith never called her again. So she put the man on blast. But this is happening all over. There's a lot of girls hooking up with these celebrities and athletes with this false sense of security, thinking, oh, well, I'm messing with Wayne, or I'm messing with such and such, I'm good. And then they get dropped like a hot potato, and then they get in their feelings and want to write the blogs. But it's like, you're stupid. You risk your life to go meet up with somebody that you don't know. He's no different from a dude down the street that you don't know. You don't know this man. You just know he plays ball. So you have him get you a plane ticket, fly you way to New York, wherever they went, and then you have unprotected sex with him just based on the fact that he's a New York Jets player. This man could have, AAP could have anything. And then don't tell me she didn't go back home and then fuck somebody else. it's sad.
That's the whole thing. There's like unaccounted for penises out there. And then like now she'll go on different radio shows and whatnot and plead her case as a career victim. Well, this guy did me dirty. This guy did this. And then like you have some women who take, put their bodies at risk. They might have some diseases or something like that that go unnoticed because, again, some people don't show the symptoms right there, end up being sterile or worse. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not to say, like, y'all are not right about the illusion of winning, but the cost to try to feel like you won, it is too high. I'd rather take my chance at the lottery right now. I'd rather take my chance.
Well, I feel you on that. They're making a lot of good points in the chat room. Crystal is saying that she'd rather She's saying the hoes have their parents are winning, but at the end of the day, I'd rather be a woman and get things based on my own merits than sell my soul or play STD roulette with a bunch of, or deal with a bunch of craziness, which is so true. And then Bill O'Nerd is saying that Charlamagne said girls are morals in class have a heart out here. That's the truth. And then VH1 Access brought up a good point. The dude in Chicago that killed his mom, Kwame Wilson, look how many baby mamas it turned out that he had. It came out that he had 9 kids. And this was a dude that was only hood famous. You feel me? So if girls are willing to sell themselves short for a dude who's doing nothing more than flashing money and driving around with a damn, you know, Mustang with Lambo doors, it's not like he was in a Bentley or no shit like that. If they're willing to do this for somebody who's hood famous, they're throwing our common sense out the window for somebody who's really famous. You figure 7 different women found out on Facebook that their child has siblings. I sat there and watched the whole shit play out for 2 weeks straight. That was some of the sickest shit I've ever seen. It was literally like, what, you got a baby too? Well, I heard this girl named Ashley said she do too. Well, I got a boy. What you got? I got a girl. I mean, this can't be life.
No.
It's like, what happened to, you know, getting into a relationship, getting to know that man, getting to know their family, meeting, you know, it's insane. And it's like, where are the parents at? Like, I don't understand how you have a kid by somebody, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, and you've never met grandparents? Your son has never met his grandmother who's now deceased and he can't meet? That's crazy to me. How are you okay being somebody's secret? I don't get that at all.
Hey, what do you think, man?
Well, you got to understand, in 1992,
right,
the first time the phrase baby mama was ever uttered was on the Doggy Style album when there was, that's actually 93, my fault, when there was a skit. He said, we're back on W Balls, and such and such wants to give out a shout out to his baby mama. That album sold 5 million copies, okay?
Yeah.
So now this information is disseminated. So now 5 million people, and you know if 5 million people bought it, you know that means that 10 million people heard the album. And all of a sudden, everybody's saying, my baby mama, my baby daddy. What that does is separate you from your humanity. That separates you from, this person is my family, an extension of me. He ain't shit, he's just my baby daddy. She ain't shit, she's just my baby mama. So family is cut off, okay?
Yeah.
So if that happened in 1993, man, we 21 years into the game, man. Generation lost.
Yeah.
I promise you, man, sometimes, I'm ashamed to be a hip-hop artist, man, because I feel like my music is like a double agent sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Is that we put stuff out here, and the shit is like irreversible. Because black people to this day do not value the concept of family because simply because of this concept of baby mama, baby daddy.
I get what you're saying. And the thing is, I understand like why you feel like you're a double agent, but it's on part of the parents that they're supposed to disseminate this information like they do with church, any other school of thought. The real education starts at home, all day, every day. That way they help the kids understand what the hell's going on, but there's not a lot of that. There's that.
No, it's over with.
Like, just like with the video you said, there's been that conversation like, what have you done for me lately? It's been that whole, there ain't nothing going on but the rent. That whole mindset has been started a long time ago. And then it manifested to here, and it got to that point where you said with the baby mama part, that's where it really got wild. It really went out of whack. So it's not really many of y'all the artists. Some of y'all out there do that, but there's some who are responsible for what they say and do. It's just like not just the messages put out there, but with no one to sit there and disseminate that information, it goes haywire out there.
Right. Like the point that you made is that it starts in the home. But what I'm saying is that when this mentality started getting out here and more black people started having kids without being married, fam, it ain't no home no more, fam.
Yeah.
It's an apartment where the woman is working 2 jobs and a nigga that's not taking care of the kids and a son is growing up selling dope because he don't got no guidance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, we're talking about menace to society. We're talking about that perpetuated over and over and over again.
Over.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it really ain't no home no more, and that's really what the problem is. That's why our public schools are so fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Because the teachers are dealing with shit that they should not have to be dealing with. They're dealing with crazy issues. But you only going to have issues that crazy if it ain't no home structure. So the stuff that they're bringing into the schools is wild, fam. It's way crazier than when we were younger. You know what I mean?
Well, they took discipline out the school first thing. They took all kind of things that, like, again, there was supposed to be, like, checks and balances. When you were acting up in school, your parents would go in there because they give a damn. And, like, every time you saw someone's parent in the window, you would act like you were doing homework, even if you didn't have it. There was a sense of shame and fear at the time. And sometimes when you act up, some parents would come to the school and kick your ass in the parents' principal's office or out wherever. But they eliminated that. They gave that 900 number and said, like, well, you can call this number in case your parents are abusing you. They intentionally confused discipline with abuse. And once you
said that, it's our design.
So, and then you had the parents afraid to discipline their children, and they had those kids going wild, then they let all the wolves in, and then it's better to divide and conquer than rather have that family unit. Because when you have that family unit, that's what builds community. That's what helps build society as it supposed to be. But now you got a wayward society where you got a lot of so-called, you know, single parents figuring they can do it on their own, which is stupid. And you got children figure they're above discipline, so they're just running wild. And you have those little QCs out there killing their parents because they didn't discipline them or teach them how to appreciate anything, or just they try to treat them like their boyfriend or their girlfriend. It's been a complete clusterfuck it's intended in order to control not just, you know, what we have left in society, but basically destroy basically everything that we ever built.
Right.
Yes,
okay, y'all saw the World Hip Hop video about the little baby in the diaper in Omaha, Nebraska, cousin?
Right, yep. I'm going to be doing a video about that, yep.
Okay, see, this is my perfect example. You know, even if you say it starts in the home, that happened inside the home. This is what today's generation of parents, this is what they're teaching kids. And they think it's funny. And not only do they think it's funny.
You got to look at it, too. The mother came out. She's 16. And her mother ain't but too much older than her. Her mother's in her early 30s. Her mother's a
gangbanger.
So what do you expect for this little boy to pick up? The little boy was spitting his lip harder than any kid on the street. You know, at 2 years old, he's been shot. He's lived a rough life. So like you said, there is no more family structure. There is no home. It's not being taught because there's no home.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, like I was speaking about double agent, worldstarhiphop.com is the biggest double agent in the world because every time, Lovely T, tell me if I'm lying, every time somebody submit one of these videos, somebody end up getting indicted or getting arrested.
Right.
Yeah. Every single time. It's like, who do they work for? It's like you are volunteering this information and you're going to jail for it. And people are getting entertained while you're going to jail? And they
get
advertising money for that?
Man, well, not just World Star Hip Hop. You're looking at Facebook, looking at Instagram. You're looking at all these different social mediums that people throw their information willingly out there. So basically you're just telling people, you can watch me all you like. You can do anything you want to do. Just like they caught that chick that sat there and, like, stole money and flossing in there. She got caught. You had QC out there who killed his mom, had his mom stabbed and shot in the head. And got caught flossing. They don't care anymore. And again, you make it easy because we're already being watched as is. They're just like the people are being watched. They're just being real arrogant about it. Like, I can do anything and I'm untouchable. That's where, if we had parenting the way it used to be, then not just mother and father, they had grandparents, uncles, aunts, everything to keep your ass in check. We wouldn't have all this foolishness out there. The prison industry complex would not be making money hand over fist, you know, with these broken homes, you know, because they already set it up to where by the time you're in the third grade, they already have a cell waiting for you, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. What they do, actually, I mean, you're very close. What they actually do is they start construction on jails based on the reading level. So they look at third graders and fourth graders, and looking at the reading level of the third graders and fourth graders, they already have a projection of how many jails they need to build. Because there's a direct correlation to violent crime towards your level of education and your reading levels and your reading scores.
Right. Let's go ahead and let somebody in real quick because they've been on hold for about 8 minutes. I'm going to keep you on the line track, so don't hang up, okay?
All right.
Area code 901. 901, you're on the air with Lovely T. Who is this?
Hey, girl, what's up? This is Janae.
Hey, Janae. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I wanted to say something today, kind of adds on to what that other caller was talking about. The thing is, the biggest problem is that he was talking about broken homes. Well, the reason why we got broken homes is because of broken people. And that is a cycle that it's a cycle that turns, that has started from them. And then, of course, they make broken people. And so, therefore, you've got a broken home where nobody is whole. Everybody is repeating the same cycle over and over again. And the problem is that nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to deal with it. And with all these baby mamas and stuff like that, I mean, I'm more in the middle because the reason why I'm more in the middle is because of this reason. I feel like if you are a man and you are in the NBA, rap star, whatever, you should know that there are going to be women out there who are literally are sharks. But it's just not just the women. And you got everybody who's a shark. But we're going to talk about the women, though. You should know that there are women out there who are going to be sharks that would try to steal your money through child support. Because it used to be a time, and y'all remember, where if a woman who was a gold digger wanted to get your money, she had to marry you. That's not the case anymore. All she has to do is lay up with you and make a baby with you. And the thing is, nobody wants to say anything about it. Nobody, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, you want, let's get on the woman. Yeah, let's, of course, I understand. Get on the woman because she's wrong. But if you know that you are a hip-hop star or an NBA or whatever, you should know that that woman, there are a lot of women out there who are sharks, and they're going to try to get you for your money. They're going to try to get you for your money, so you need to start doing some screening processes. I wouldn't even trust a woman if I were a man that she was on the birth control pill. I would use 2 and 3 and 4 condoms just so that she won't get pregnant. I'm sorry. There's no way of getting around it because I'm, they're always talking about, well, these women are always, you know, are always on my back and they're, you know, and all this child support. And I'm like, well, you did put yourself in that situation because you didn't even use a condom. You did not use a condom. Or something happened where the condom broke. Now, if the condom broke, there'll be a different story. Most of these times, these guys don't want to use a condom. You got some guys who feel like it feels different because if I do use a condom, so you know, let's not use a condom. And then you basically imprisoning yourself. That's a man, no lie, in Tennessee had like, oh my goodness. Dude has so many baby mamas. You know, y'all remember that story?
They're talking about Desmond Hatchett.
Yeah.
With his funny-looking slow self just sitting there. Like he only got 22 kids to feed. Tell him he ain't had no job and he could only give them $1 a month per child. I want to beat his butt.
No, but here's the thing that pissed me off. He in like 3 more years before the first case came out, 3 more years he had like 9 more kids, so that's 3 a year. Those women, I'm so, let me, I don't want to sit up there and cuss.
Yeah, the women were very ratchet in that situation, and that's what I said about people getting boosted off of hood fame. They said that he was famous, hood famous, because he damn sure ain't walking through the streets of Hollywood, but they seen him on TV. They seen he was getting some type of internet fame. So instead of them running for the hills, like most women would have done with common sense, like this man is he was like 28 at the time. He had 22 kids at the time. He can't afford to take care of none of them. He doesn't have a job. He's in and out of jail. So instead of running like hell, they chose to get pregnant by him.
It added more to the play, and I was pissed off. I'm like sitting there like, okay, did you not realize this man was on television saying that he couldn't afford any kids? Why would you? And then guess what? They're on the state. They're on the system. That's the only.
It's a hustle.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it was a hustle until somebody told me, and I was listening to some stuff, and I'm like, dang, they're true. That is a hustle nowadays.
Yeah, it's a hustle to get welfare. It's a hustle to get food stamps, housing. I mean, you got the broke hustle, what the girls in the hood do. because they can get assistance and they can get help. And I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying, you know, in general. And then you got the girls who kind of, you know, quote-unquote, think bigger. Like, okay, well, instead of, you know, getting pregnant by the local dope boy and, you know, dealing with food stamps and Section 8, I'm going to chase me a baller. So that's a lot of the mentalities that you see around now. I know this girl, she got pregnant last year. She was 15. And at that point in time, everybody had been warning her, you know, you need to be protecting yourself. You don't need to be coming up with no baby. You know, you're 15 years old. Well, of course, lo and behold, she ends up getting pregnant by her 17-year-old boyfriend. So, you know, we had talked to the mom, like, you know, what you going to do? Are you mad? You upset? You think the mama was mad? Nope, because the mama wasn't about shit. She was living out for her daughter. She's like, well, that's just more food stamps for us. That's just more money for us. I'm not tripping. I'm going to take care of my grandbaby. I'm like, so you would rather live and mooch out for your 15-year-old daughter getting pregnant and bringing another child into this world just so they can extend your fucking welfare case? Are you serious right now? She was dead serious.
She needs to be flat.
And that's the mentality that people need to change. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to say, you know, we can go back and forth with the male-female dynamic, but the mentality of the people are just sick. People have a sick mentality. People have some type of mentality nowadays that motherfuckers owe you something. Don't nobody owe you shit. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to better themselves. They want to either mooch off of you, mooch off the system, mooch off of an athlete. What happens to people who could really, like, you know, pull themselves up by the bootstraps and really handle their business? Those people are far and few between. If you can find them, holler at me.
I know that's right. But the thing is, you know, it's upsetting because of the fact that, you know, y'all mentioned it earlier, Ronan mentioned it earlier, that these days you can't even discipline these kids. You know, you got older adults who could tell our generation, you know, you don't need to do that, or, hey, you know, you need to slow your roll, or, hey, you know, give them some type of correction. But nowadays, you know, these parents, it seems like parents are too, and even authority figures, period, are too soft on these kids. I'm like, God. You know, it used to be a like, give you a prime example. There's a man on there's a man that does this type of thing where he goes to schools and teach black kids a correct English, for example. His name is Gerard McClinton or McClendon or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he did an interview with some type of TV show, and he talked about how there are parents out there who would literally come to the school and cut out these teachers, you know, and I hate to say it, but you do see a lot of black parents who do this, and I'm not saying this is all of them, but the thing is, cut them out, because, you know, they tell them your English is not correct. But the thing is, you don't understand that when you go into a job and you speak with that type of vernacular or that type of way, they're not going to hire you because of the fact that, you know, they feel like, okay, well, how is it that you spent like 12 years of college and you have, not college, but school, and you haven't mastered your native language? You haven't mastered your native language. How is it that, you know, and there's a certain stereotype, too, that is placed upon them. I mean, you know, there are parents out there, even other racial minorities, who feel like, okay, well, there are certain racial stereotypes that, you know, how we're going to be seen by the white man, so we're going to have to, you know, do well and beyond to make sure that we can be just as equal, you know, especially in the job market. But nowadays, we don't even teach that to our generation or to the kids in the black community, and it makes me upset because I'm just sitting there like, are you serious? Are you serious?
Right.
And the parents, you know, it breaks my heart because of the fact that why are you sitting up there cussing out a teacher or correcting your child's English, but you want to do the same thing for that math teacher? Because the last time I remember, 2 + 2 = 5. So if you want to, if you can correct your child, if you can allow the teacher to correct the child on their math homework, why can't you do the same thing for the English? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to look at it too, though. Like, a lot of times, people nowadays, they don't like criticism. When a child does well, people love praise. Oh, that's my baby. Clap for my baby. You know what I'm saying? When a child does good, people love praise. People love admiration. People love a pat on the back. But when a child fucks up or they're not doing the right thing, you can't tell some parent shit. Oh, well, your child is not doing good in school, or your child is failing. It ain't not my child. Can't be my baby. That's the mentality that we have this day. Can't nobody tell nobody nothing. So when you can't tell the adults nothing, you damn sure can't tell the kids nothing. You got a lot of grown folks out here who are just grown because of their age, but not because of their mentality.
I agree. Yeah. But, I, you know, here's the thing. I remember working in a camp, and, of course, thank God, I didn't want to stay there that long, and they fired me. I'm glad that they did, because the thing is, I had asked if I had asked my employer. I said, okay, what happens if a child were to say something or do something to to disrespect you? Could you say anything to kind of put them back in their place? And she kind of took offense to what I said, you know, and she said, you know, do you mean like, you know, well, we had like this one counselor from the South, for example, who, you know, woke up all the kids, you know, who were bad and all, at 12 o'clock at night and made them do push-ups. And I said, no, that's not what I mean. But I'm just saying, you know, you do need to talk to these kids in a way to let them know I am the adult and you are the child, and you need to respect me. That is the way that I grew up. And she said, you know, and of course everybody around me was like, no, you don't do that, because you just need to kind of steer them in the right type of behavior, you know, and say, no, that's not how you talk, that's not how you say things, that's not how you do things, and all that type of stuff. In other words, being soft on them. When I was growing up, adults were not soft on me. They would be real quick. I even had white teachers who, you know, white female teachers that would be real quick to tell you, I'm not going to tolerate that, and I will kick you out of my class if you continue to act like that. They said that in front of your face, and you better not go back to your home to your mom and tell her that, because the thing is, she would not, my mother especially, she would be like, no, she was right to tell you that. She was right. You know, I remember seeing a teacher misbehaving and saying something wrong, said something really mean to another kid, and she saw that, and she jerked that kid by the collar, and she said, you better not do that again. Today, you can't do that anymore because parents will have a fit. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you supposed to do nowadays? Why are the parents and why are the adults so afraid of the kids? Doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it's crazy how it is. There's a lot of people are in the chat room talking, so I want to read some of the comments that are going on in the chat room. Devin is saying that ratchet parents are feeding into the stereotype. VH1 Access is saying that he agrees that a lot of parents are just way too soft. Sean is saying that he thinks a lot of kids think that they're just way too grown. Thomas is saying that people have become lazy and satisfied, and you can't tell folks anything. So a lot of people are making a lot of really good points. Devin says that some kids just need a brick thrown at them. Thank you, Devin, with your violent ass.
That's
my boy, though. I love Devin.
No, I honestly agree that some kids need their ass kicked, because then, like, I had my mother raise me in a way, like, when we got our ass beat in the store for showing out, no one really said anything. They wanted to, but then, like, they were quiet. But now, when you try to discipline your child, or you're being mean to your child, and it's like, you got to be a parent and say, look, are you paying any bills in here? Are you taking care of the welfare of this child? I'm like, no, well, shut the fuck up. And then handle your business as you're supposed to as a parent. And it's different if you're treating your child like Penny on Good Times, getting burnt by irons and all kind of medieval times. Yeah, but all type of medieval stuff, that's different. That's abuse. But when it comes to, like, correcting your child, like, sitting there and, like, talking to your child while you discipline them, or after you discipline them, like, taking away all the stuff that they're used to, teaching them how to appreciate the liberties that they are given, that helps them, you know, move away from this foolishness that they're doing. A lot of times when they're doing bad stuff, kids are rewarded for foolishness. And, of course, they're going to do much worse, thinking they're going to get more of a reward. Or they figure, like, well, I'm going to act up, and my parents are going to buy my attention and my affection and my loyalty. That doesn't work. It's never worked.
Right.
Sure.
Track, you still there?
Yeah.
I
for the caller
to
call in, you calling from Memphis, Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just noticing, because as soon as I heard that 901, you know, everybody from the Midwest can relate to this, but everybody that's from the Midwest initially comes from Memphis, Tennessee, or Little Rock, Arkansas, or Shreveport, Louisiana, something like that. So I'm a Milwaukee, Wisconsin man, but, you know, my grandma still calls me Maine. So I hear Memphis, Tennessee every time my grandma opens her mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's
so what do you feel, Track, about the kids today as far as, like, what do you think is lacking in the discipline, especially, like, with a lot of, like, the young males out here? Because they seem, I mean, the girls are off the chain, especially sexually, but as far as, like, the guys.
Yeah. I mean, what's lacking is males. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
By trade, outside of doing music, I'm actually a social worker for at-risk kids. And the one thing that I learned working with my kids is obviously the majority of the ones that's in the system that I have to provide services for are black. But when I got my first little white kid, his daddy wasn't part of his life. And so he looked at me like a father. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and I'm a black man from the inner city, and this little white kid looked at me as a father figure, you know, when I would take him on outings and doing stuff with him in the community because his dad wasn't there. When I got my first Puerto Rican kid on my caseload, his real father wasn't a part of his life. So he looked up to me the same way. So really what's happening is that it's affecting us as African Americans the most, but across the board, if there's not a strong man in the house, everything else is falling apart. And we can't get it twisted and say that it's only like the young boys that get affected by a man not being in the home, because we know girls have what we like to call daddy issues. If there ain't no strong man in the home to raise the young girls, to show them what a real man is supposed to look like, they gonna make terrible choices for the next 17, 18 years of who they deal with.
Exactly.
So I really feel like it's just an epidemic with us. Because even more so, I think the kid situation is a critical thing, but I think the second most critical thing is who are black women going to have as an option to mate with in the future? If the black men keep dying and keep going to jail, at the rate that we die and going to jail, who are y'all going to have to mate with? What options are y'all going
to
have?
But you know what,
every time
that
we see a sister with
topic.
A white boy or an Asian cat or like a Latino dude and we want to tear her down, well, look at the options. Black women outnumber black men, and then y'all really outnumber us when we keep going to jail and we keep dying. So just to summarize, I think that's the real two things in terms of what's really going on with the kids. It's just
the
lack of men.
That definitely goes on to the next topic that we're going to talk about, because we got about 50 minutes left. So we'll hit this up, and I wanted your opinion on this as well. But me and Ronan were talking about this earlier. I had posted that what was that, the whole controversy about that man, the black dude with the mixed kids, and him brushing the hair, and a lot of folks were going in. And people automatically try to make it look like it was all black women going in, but a lot of people that were calling him out were black men as well, and a lot of racist people were calling him out. Because, one, from what I was hearing, is some people felt some type of way because the kids were mixed. So they're saying because he has mixed children, this is the only reason why he's on the Internet flossing and grinning and basically cooning, you know, being there for his kids. Other folks were saying that if these kids were full black or had nappy hair, he wouldn't be doing their hair. The white folks were saying, oh, well, you know, this is cute, black man. Now go back to selling your bootleg CDs and your drugs, because we know that once the camera gets put up, you're not doing shit for these kids. You know, and this man is a blogger. He's a he's not a single father. He's married to a woman. She's white and Asian. And they've been together for a few years. You know, beautiful family. He looks like a good dad. He's fighting for a lot of men's rights. And a lot of folks were tearing him down. And you know, it sparked a really big debate, you know, online. A lot of folks going back and forth, even when I posted it on my fan page. And when you said that question, you know, what is in the future for us? You know, as a black community, in black relationships, you know, minority relationships, you have so many people saying jump ship, or that they're jumping ship, which I hate that term. Because how do you jump ship from your own people? You feel me? That's like the stupidest thing. And like I said, with the whole interracial thing, I have no problem with who anybody chooses to date. Because at the end of the day, when you're in a relationship, you're in a relationship with that one person. I can't dictate who this man should be with. If Becky makes you happy, genuinely happy, and that's who you love, I can't do nothing but applaud that. And the same should go for the women, but I notice with us, we want to sit there and tear each other down or use our interracial partners as some type of, you know, token or pat on the back. So now because I'm with, you know, Raul, now I got to hate all black men, and black men ain't shit, and that's why I'm with Raul. Or now that, you know, Raheem is with Becky, now all black women ain't shit, and look at my beautiful white queen. We're the only race of people who do that. I have yet to this day ever hear an Asian man who's dating outside his race knock his own Asian women. To this day, I've never heard no damn Latino woman knock her own men up with the black man. Rarely, if ever. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of sad that that's the mentality that we have. And, you know, like they say, what is going to be the relationship in the next 20, 30 years with black male-female relationships?
I have a thing to say about that. Because I hate to say it this way, but, you know, let's really talk about it. Let's be very honest. In the black community, we do believe in that one-drop rule. So, technically, the black men, I'm just saying, you know how black folks, I'm not saying this is all black folks. I'm just saying, generally speaking, you do have black folks who do believe in a one-drop rule that if your dad or your mom is black, then you're black. So, technically, you know, we're still producing quote-unquote black men and black women still, because they are saying that the mixed people are becoming the new blacks.
Most mixed people, not most, I'm not going to say most. Most of the mixed people I know don't even claim black. They claim mixed.
Okay.
You know, so, and that's what I consider biracial people. I consider them mixed. You have a white mom, white, black dad. I consider biracial people mixed. I don't consider biracial people black. That makes no sense. When you have somebody who is white and Asian, nobody considers them Asian. Everybody says, oh, they're white and Asian kid. If you have somebody who is Asian and Mexican, everybody differentiates both the races. But when it comes to black and white, people just say black. And I don't know. I just don't agree with that.
Well, that's because of slavery. And look, you know, everybody's like, well, look at our first black president. I'm like, okay, well, no, you don't understand. This man grew up with no black folks being around him. As a matter of fact, the first time he met a black person, even dated a black person, was who? Michelle. Because the thing is, when you know, you got to understand, you upset two sides of the coin when you see a black man dating a white woman. And so, you know, I could see where there was a slight political move for him to date and have a black family. I can see that. But at the same time, people don't understand that in the media, particularly in media, with biracial people, they represent us now. Look on CNN. They have them all representing us. Michelle Harris-Perry, Soledad O'Brien, Michael Eric Dyson, all of them represent us, and they're mixed. You don't see someone who is dark-skinned in politics representing us. As a matter of fact, even in Hollywood, they show you the difference between a mixed girl and a black girl, and that black girl, the dark-skinned black girl, is usually the negative, stereotypical caricature of a black woman, but that mixed girl, oh, she's usually the antithesis of all that. That goes back to the 80s when you saw a different world, and you see girlfriends now doing it, and where the black girl who is dark-skinned is usually the loudest one, and she's always giving attitude and all of that, and nobody says anything about it. Nobody, you know, but they're still black, they're still black, they're still black, and I'm like, no, but you don't understand that they are showing you a difference. Well, not only the mainstream media is doing, but even the black entertainment, you know, television and movies of our own kind doing this stuff, and nobody talks about it, and that pisses me off. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too super, super deep, but y'all kind of took me there. I kind of don't have no choice. What's really going on is what you're looking at is genetic warfare. White people still run this planet Earth, this system, for the most part. And
Jewish too.
Right. But white people are technically a minority on the face of this planet Earth, and people never really look at it like that. Just stay with me for a minute. Black people and Latinos have always been called minorities, but we can break it down by continent. Africa, done deal. We don't even need to discuss that. Black. South America, that's all brown people. When you start going around the continent, the only continent where white people are a majority is Australia and Europe. But when you look around everywhere else, like India is the most populous continent on the face of the earth. Man, Gandhi, Lovely T is probably the only person on the line right now that has seen what I look like because she's seen some of my music videos. But I'm a light-skinned black man. Gandhi was way darker than me, okay?
Right.
And he's from India, okay? Halle Berry is darker than I am, and her daddy was black. You understand what I'm saying? So that's showing you how powerful our genes are, that you can take a dark-skinned black man and a white woman and produce a child that's darker than a light-skinned black man like myself. So when you see these images of a man taking care of these mixed babies or a black man laying on a couch and his mixed baby spilling Cheerios on his chest, that's reminding white people that if we mix with black people, our race comes closer to being extinct. That's how come in Minnesota, I know in Minnesota it's a whole lot of interracial relationships.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
how you see up here.
Yeah, yeah.
They keep
bringing me
life vests.
Right. So biracial is probably a reality in Minnesota because it's commonplace.
Oh, yeah.
But everywhere else, they're not trying to hear that shit. So when you see Tiger Woods, they say the first black golfer to win the Masters, the first black president of the United States, because that's code language. What they basically letting you know is we at war. Y'all ain't none of us. As soon as y'all got a drop of black blood, y'all ain't on no part of us. We choosing sides. And the way that we going about this warfare is we make sure that we got this crack in your neighborhood. We make sure your kids is popping molly. We making sure that you can buy guns in your neighborhood. We making sure we got liquor stores in your neighborhood. We not spending as much per child in your public school system. And that's how we going to war with you. But the problem is black people never wake up to see it as war. We're at war every single day.
Especially with each other. And the sad part is if we actually look back at our history and look at ourselves, it'll tell a whole lot of – it'll cut all this bullshit out where we get all this light skin, team dark skin nonsense. A lot, you follow the slave trade routes. You even go further back. We've been here and back numerous times. You look at things like we can do a lot of things. We're a lot more than just basketball players, no disrespect, rappers or models and things like that. We were scientists, we were astrologists. We were a lot of things. But again, like we lost touch of that. We allowed a different society that runs on different rules to tell us to ignore our history while we praise and basically give homage to people whose history is not even as deep as ours. We're supposed to look at them as a standard of beauty, but then, like, in the same time, while you're trying to be like them, they're trying to be like you. And you're buying into the bait and switch free time, which, again, you have to look at yourself and figure out where I come from. Why am I here? Why is it that people are spending top dollar to eliminate who I am, my memory, and basically my purpose here? You scare people just by being yourself. You scare the shit out of them. So they're going to use every means possible to keep people divided and keep people stupid from who they generally are and what they're intended to be. Because if we actually get our shit together, look at our history, and basically protect and use our dollars, we could change and move some shit overnight. Period.
Oh, yeah, we have economic wealth to do it. It's just, again, the mentality and getting people to think that way. You know, that's the problem.
You know,
nobody wants to unite because we have so many petty differences between all of us. You know, like you said, light skin, dark skin, good hair, bad hair, your mother's white, your mother's black, you're not black enough. What is black? You know what I'm saying? It's so many petty differences that it's hard for us to come together to build that economic, you know, background that we need, that economic sanction that we need to help lift us out of this poverty and everything that we're in and all the foolishness that just goes on in our neighborhoods. Nobody else is going to clean it up. People have washed their hands of black people, especially in America. Folks do not give a damn when Raheem gets shot. Oh, well, just another black boy. You know, black people don't care no more.
With all due respect, to go on with, you know, what Tracker was saying,
mm-hmm.
Name one all pro-black unit or group that has gone out here and lynched people as far as, like, different ethnicities, who basically went out there and burned crosses or did all kind of ignorant acts of terrorism and been allowed to do it. You name one. Why would
you can't name one.
Why would we even need to do that? When you have, like, these groups out here who are in outright dire fear for their lives or existence, because, again, I tell when we have arguments, when I have certain arguments with certain people, like, come out with this little racist rhetoric, you know, like saying black people are racist, like, no, we can't be racist. But we don't have a system. No, we don't have an entire system to back us up on our presence. That's what racism is, among other things. But
right, you're going to be prejudiced.
Why am I going to argue back and forth with a recessive gene? And that pisses them off.
So let me ask y'all. So when you seen that picture initially, I know me and you talked about it too, Ronan. When the picture first hit the net and you seen the whole firestorm and everything, did you think, Track, that picture, like how people was running with it, how folks were like so upset, and how some people felt some type of way because it was a black man with his biracial kids as opposed to people giving him praises for just, you know, being in the household and taking care of his daughters. How did you initially take that image when you saw it? Did you see it more deeper than that? Because a lot of folks on my Facebook page were saying, well, the one guy that had said a few comments, people were thumbsing him up, and he was just saying, you know, like, why is he getting praise for this? That's what you're supposed to do. Like, people love to, you know, get praise for shit, for basic shit. What's the big deal that he's doing his child's hair?
Yeah. Well, I think what the reality is, even if you look at the LeBron James Samsung commercial where he's playing with his kids in the kitchen with his wife, you don't see images of black fatherhood at all. You know what I mean? So I don't think that this man meant anything by it, you know, in terms of, like, we can't have it both ways in society. We can't have it and say that all black men are like Sean Kemp, you know what I'm saying, or Future, because Future keep on popping out babies left and right, right? You know, we can't keep putting this stereotype that all of us are a bunch of fatherless grown men who now become fatherless to the children that they produce. You can't keep saying that, and then you see something positive on the Internet, and you want to attack that too. See, that's what I mean in terms of being a black man, of just we get it at all angles. Like, we can't win.
No matter what
we try to do, it's still attacked, okay?
Right.
And but I think really just deeper what really upsets people is that they know that those kids that he brushing his daughter's hair, that those will be considered young black women. And people feel like that they lose in this country. And Chris Rock is one of my favorite comedians of all time because he said when white people keep complaining, we're losing the country, we're losing the country. Chris Rock said, well, if y'all losing, who's winning? Because it's showing us.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's my whole issue with things that go on online is the hypocrisy. You know, like you said, we can't have it both ways. We're so quick to bash black men and say black men ain't shit, they're not fathers, they don't take care of their kids. And then when you see one who is doing something, who is in the household, who is blogging and you know, taking care of his daughters, then we bash that too. You know, so it's just that selective outrage. It's like you can't just make people happy. Folks are always going to have something to say about everything. People will see negativity in every damn thing. And it's sad, but it is like that nowadays.
But here's the thing that I had a problem with, though, and this is something that nobody sees. In the media, or just in general, society tells men in general, black men, white men, all of that, tells men that you're unneeded and you're unwanted. You look at all these sitcoms and reality shows these sitcoms and stuff that are comedies particularly, and it has a family unit. Who is usually the buffoon? Who is usually careless and act childish is usually the father. And it's usually the mom who is lifted up and praised as, you know, the head of the household and everything like that. That's been going on for years. And even you look at the TV show Roseanne, I love that show. I love that woman. But I do disagree with how the fact that she treated her own husband, and then everybody was like, well, why are those kids treating the daddy like that? Well, of course the kids are going to treat the daddy like that and not give him any type of respect. It's because of the fact that the The mother's disrespecting the father. This is why even when you say Kate Gosling, you know, how she disrespected her husband, how she was overbearing and how
right.
she emasculated him. Guess what? Those kids treated that man just like she did, like she did. And so that was the anger that came from my side. I will admit, I was angry because I'm like, okay, well, here's the, you know, the black women say that they want a man to stand up and be the man to take care of the kids, but now he's been attacked. Here's a father that's been attacked for being a man and taking care of his kids. It's like, okay, why can't he win? Why can't black men win? And so I was standing up. This is where I was standing up for them. Like, okay, why is it? And it upsets me because it makes black women look bad. That's where I was angry at. It makes black women look bad, and it makes them look like they're just, like we're just bitter and everything like that. And the thing is, I don't want black women to come across that way, because the thing is, if you have a good number of them who come across that way, then everybody's going to think, okay, well, all black women are thinking like that. Well, and I even have friends who told me when they saw black men but not black women, you know, they'll turn to me and say, Janae, how do you feel about that? And I'm like, I don't care. I mean, if that's who he wants, he has the right to have who he wants. But that thing is, they tell me all the time, well, I know there's a lot of black women out there, who have a problem with that because of what I've seen and what I've heard. And I said, okay, I understand. And so that's why I was upset, you know, and the reason why I said what I said, I didn't mean to come across that way. But, you know, but I just felt like, okay, well, why is it that, you know, that we even do this to each other? Where, you know, I even saw my cousin say, well, oh, you know, Tay Diggs is a sellout because he's with the Jewish girl. Of course, now he's getting a divorce from her. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, why does he got to be a sellout? And why does it always, oh, you couldn't handle a strong black woman? Well, number one, she shouldn't be something to handle anyway. She should handle herself. Yeah. So, I mean, why is there, like, you know, because the thing is, let's be very honest, with interracial relationships in the black community, a black woman and a white man is less offensive. That's because we've been conditioned that way through the media. I'm sorry, that's just another way of getting around it.
In a way. And like I said, Janae, on your post, I kind of understood where you was coming from, but I felt, too, like you were throwing a lot of salt towards black women. Because even if you go onto the dude's blog, most of the people who were attacking him were not black women. See, whenever something goes down, black women are the first ones to get blamed. And I guess that's the part that irritates me, because it wasn't a whole bunch of black women who came out and attacked him. It might have been, you know, one or two, but most of the people who were going at him were the brothers. Like, you know, what's up with this? Why does this nigga need a pat on the back? That's how dudes were coming at him.
But why would black men attack another black man? That's really
but they did, though. That's, I mean, it's irrelevant why, but they did. You know what I'm saying? The posts are there. You can go
that.
And read them.
Yeah, I can answer why the black men would attack him. What's really going on is that we got a lot of family business as black people, and we don't have any outlets to come together and get it out. So it plays out in the media. And one of the issues with family business is that there's a lot of hurt by seeing somebody seeming like that they're well-adjusted and happy, but it's with a white woman. You know what I'm saying? So two examples I give you. First, Michael Jordan and Kanye West. Michael Jordan was married to a sister who was a fucking lawyer. You can't get no more Claire Huxtable than that. But the rumor is that he never really liked her like that. He just married a black woman because that's good for his image, but he was screwing white women the whole time he was married to Juanita. And then to Vampire, when he finally divorced her, what did he go get? A Latina chick, but let's just keep it real. She ain't one of those dark-skinned Latina chicks.
Right,
she looked
white.
She could pass for white. And not only did he wife her, he gave her an elaborate wedding and even had a baby by her. So I think that black people, when we see our family business out there like that, it hurts. Because we look up to Michael Jordan and we say, you never really had no love for your black wife. And then you just put this Cuban chick on a pedestal. Same thing with Kanye West. If y'all are really fans of Kanye West, when he first came out, he was so humble. He was so down to earth.
Yep.
He had this song, where he was talking to the father of his girlfriend. He was bragging his girlfriend was a Delta. So you know she was black if she was a Delta. He said, I promise you, Mr. Rainey, I promise I'm going to marry your daughter. And, you know, just talking about the car, you were smiling down from heaven when you saw the car I bought her. So he was so proud of his black woman, but you never seen him kind of showing her off. Then he kind of went from that, and now he kind of showing off Amber Rose. We give you a little bit of a pass because, you know, even though some people think Amber Rose is white, no, she is black. Okay, you know, I can verify that. But then you went away from Amber Rose, and now that you with Kardashian, you be riding on horses with her, you proposing to her in empty stadiums, and you, it's like you put her on so much of a pedestal that it hurts black women to see that. Because the men of color that we have that are successful, it seems like they never, Obama is the only successful black man that's propping his black woman up. Like, I love this woman. And we need more than just Obama to be doing that.
But, and I see your point, but my thing is why. But the thing is, don't take this as offense. But my thing is, why does it matter? Because for me, I don't look at it like, okay, well, I'm going to take a personal offense because of the fact that he's with a non-black woman. I don't care anything about Kim and Kanye because personally, I think they're over-publicized. That's just the first off. Let's just be very honest. They're over-publicized. They're in the media way too much. I shouldn't have to see them on the Channel 5 and 6 o'clock news on my local news about, oh, they're having another baby. Oh, they're getting married. Oh, she's engaged. Why am I even seeing that in the first place on local news? I could see if it was entertainment news, but why local news? But for me, I don't get I personally don't get offended if Michael Jordan is with a non-black woman. And let's be very honest, she is actually white. She's actually a white Latina because you got white Latinas, black Latinas.
That is true.
You know, even you got Asian Hispanics or Latinas. You know, you got I did my research on all of that. So with that being said, I'm not trying to throw shade at what you're saying, but my thing is, why does it matter? I don't look at it like, okay, well, he's trying to prop up his woman. Well, you know, because she's not a black woman. Well, the thing is, any man is going to prop up his woman anyway because he's proud of her. He's proud to be beside her. I mean, isn't that natural?
No. What I'm saying is that the perception is that he's more proud because she's not black. You understand what I'm saying?
I can't hear you. Could you repeat that again?
Okay. I said the perception is that Kanye is even more proud because she's non-black, that Michael Jordan is even more proud because she's non-black, because we're seeing all these public displays of affection that we didn't see when you was with the sister. And if we could see Kanye, just look at it from this perspective. We live in a nation where black men is not getting married to their woman. Okay, and then Kanye West, can you imagine if he married a black woman and then he had a child by the woman he married and he's still the most fucking popular hip-hop artist in the world? You know how powerful that is? But instead, we go somewhere else with it, and then we still left with the predicament that we're in. So it's not to say that it's solely Kanye's responsibility, but it's irresponsible not to understand how it impacts us.
Yeah, and there's another part we got to look at, too. It's like, when it comes to a lot of this stuff, like, especially when this picture came out, I was more offended that there's a lot of people with their own respective agendas that came at this. Some good, most of them were fucked up. Some people were just intentionally going out to use that as a tool to sit there and just argue over bullshit and say, like, they came out there with this bravado and said, yeah, you know, see, we're out here, and, like, had you not messed with Pookie and Ray Ray, you know, you could have been with us with that. There's some people who are butthurt on that side. And you have some women who are pissed off and saying, like, well, they act like in disbelief, you know, the whole niggas ain't shit conversation. This blew a hole in their whole argument. So they were up in arms with that. And then you have people in the middle who are saying with common sense, and like, well, no one is supposed to really, I mean, being a parent is a thankless job 9 times out of 10. Why are we even talking about this? This is just another day. You're supposed to do this is what you're supposed to do as a parent. And you're seeing all this goofy nonsense over a picture of something that you're supposed to do. I looked at this the overall picture, when you look at it, it is sad. that we have argued this whole conversation, like, not all, what is this whole thing that went viral, it was unnecessary. It was unnecessary. They got off in arms because they believed that the children were biracial or whatever. It don't fucking matter. There are parents taking care of their kids. There's parents out there who are actually taking children from Africa and basically having, like walking keychains, like Angelina Jolie and the rest of them there, and just using it. You know, they have their own respective agendas of why they take the kids. Same thing with the Mitt Romneys. They sit there and have, like, a black baby, but that's a whole other conversation. Still, as parents, this is what we're supposed to do. If that's what your intention is, to raise children, use them as a have them as a representative, not just your teachings, but to the world, like, look, this person is of sound mind and can actually build a legacy beyond me. I can give my child something to go on, and when I'm gone, they can take that with them. That's what you're supposed to do. Outside of that, it is outright bullshit. Personally. That's why I got into
it
with this.
And I definitely agree with that. It just seemed like the picture went just, like you said, so far left. It's like folks are getting so upset and they were going from one thing to another, and it's just like, take it for what it is. You know, like Track said, for black men, it's like they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. You have a black dude in the household taking care of his kids, but that's not good enough because the kids aren't mixed and he's not with a black woman. But then you have, you know, Ray Ray on the street, you know, with mug shots, not taking care of his kids. He ain't shit. Niggas ain't shit. You know what I mean? So it's crazy, but you're not going to satisfy everybody, you know, point blank. But like you said, really, should the picture have even gone viral? Is it that serious? This is what fathers do all the time. But that just shows you how much that attention is needed, because it just shows you how much black men are not shown in a decent light in the media, online, and wherever else. For that to cause that much of an uproar and a chaos, that says a lot about us as a people.
Yeah, because
this is something
what it really
that black
says,
men do
you know
all the
really
time
says?
Behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what it says. Like, when we say that it shouldn't have mattered and it shouldn't have caused that much of an uproar, this is going to seem like a crazy comparison, but I look at it like the 9/11, the terrorist attacks. Like, it doesn't matter what we believe. If somebody else believes something and they are willing to enforce it upon everybody else, it will affect you. So we can't continue to just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Because if somebody believes a certain thing and it's a movement of what they believe, and what they believe is hateful and they're willing to act on it, it's going to affect you. You can't ignore it and just say it shouldn't matter. Yeah, it's about to matter if they're about to bring it to you because they feel this way. So you have to pay attention to it. You can't live in a utopian world where you just look the other way and say, well, I'm not in danger because of this. Because there is a danger in that. When people can come up with this much hate just because of a picture of a black man with two biracial kids, you should be on alert. You should be ready to fight for your life, because it might be going down.
Yeah, and think about the legion of dollars and the propaganda that they put out there saying that positive black fathers don't exist. Mothers who take care of their kids, you know, you can do it without the father. And, you know, they even put out there, like, you're both the mother and the father on those them bullshit cards or whatever.
That's
basically
disgusting.
As long as we keep that family unit apart, keep them feuding, keep them fussing over the basic bullshit, we're cool. You have a legion of entities that profit from this dysfunction. The prison industry complex. You have the police out there. You have a legion of wolves out there who do not want to see that image. That to them, that was dangerous to see that, because it could spread like wildfire. But as far as, like, the rest of us, some of us had believed in that propaganda and said, like, there's no such thing as a good man. There's no such thing as a good woman out here. When really we have to open our eyes and look at it for what it is. Like, we exist. But sometimes you have to ask yourself, how come I can't find something that I'm not looking for in the first place? Or couldn't appreciate if it's sitting and running from my face? And there it was. Not just that, but it happens every day. And the toughest part is they don't want to look at themselves. That's what it comes down to. Because they, in order to accommodate that image, what they saw on the picture, which went viral, they will have to change something within themselves. And that's the last thing people want to do is face themselves. The last thing.
No. Nope. And Chris was making some really good points in the chat room. She said if society can put that much energy into kids who are not being taken care of, i.e. neglected or abused kids, as they put into kids who are being taken care of, the world will be a much better place. And that's so true. You know, and what's sad is that, you know, what I find sad, because you figure you had the black man taking care of his kids, doing their hair, and then you compare that to the video of the little black boy in the pamper. I had so many black folks attacking me and going off on me on Facebook because I'm like, what the hell are these parents thinking? I'm going off on the parents. You don't see the bigger picture. The police put the picture up there, and there was racism and this, and that. So, once again, another cop-out. We're going to blame the police as if the black family that were in the household with the little boy didn't take the picture, I mean, didn't record the video, egg him on, make him say what he said, and then post it onto the Internet. So we're just totally going to deflect from that. And that's the problem. We love to deflect. We love to ignore, you know, the obvious signs, and then we have selective outrage. There were more black folks sticking up for that video and making excuses for those people's behavior. Oh, it was a joke. They was just trying to be funny. Why y'all wilding out? Y'all taking it too serious. They took up for that. But then the peaceful black man doing his kids' hair, oh, that was all types of outrage and, you know, oh, look at this sellout. And the mentality is crazy. We're just so backwards in society. It's scary. It really is.
We're addicted to being patient. We're used to talking about each other, being talked about, being mistreated, you know, basically having the police doing all these crazy things, stand your ground law, seeing how a lot of us are being killed off by the justice system for no reason. There's always some kind of, in their opinion, a credible excuse for subpar behavior, and there isn't. Why is it that they have to break their necks to make sure you don't do anything positive? Anything you positive you do, it gets a backlash like this. That should tell you something. You should learn how to be a rebel. And like, look, these are my kids. This is my community. This is my future. And I'm going to do what I need to do was right, because if you don't have anything worth dying for, you are not fit to fucking live. Period. And that's talking about your kids. That's talking about your standards. That's talking about your community. That's like everything. And, you know, doing a radio show, if I'm going to get shot for this shit, fuck it. You better aim for my temple, because I'm going to stand by this.
Yeah. How much time is left, Lovely Two?
We got about 5 minutes left.
Okay, I got to ask you this then. Real quick, I'm going to drop a bomb. Did Marvin Sapp catch him a body or what? Allegedly, we got to throw in the word allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But did Marvin Sapp catch him a body or not?
Oh, you talking about that missing lady that looks like me, that everybody keeps saying is my twin?
Yes.
Y'all better stop that damn shit. That scared me. Everybody's like, T.T., is this you? Hell no, that ain't me. No, Talita
Man,
Patrick,
name. I think Marvin Sapp had him a couple clean bucks to get her cleaned up. You know, her car was just sitting on the side of the road. She wrote that man 400 letters. She moved to Michigan without his permission. Talking to his kids, he said, I don't take that kind of thing lightly. Man, listen.
You know that they're saying, too, Track, I had just seen an update. They said that he was preaching at his church about her. I don't know if it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, but they said he was going in on her and I guess her craziness and stuff like that as one of his, you know, his preaching sermons. So I found
Are you serious?
Crazy too, because it's like obviously she has some type of, you know, mental disorder right now. She's going through some schizophrenia. Like that's some real stuff, you know. So for them to try and make light of it, or for him to try and act like she's just this horrible person, it does make me give him the side eye.
Yeah, man, I don't know how come he is not a person of interest right now. I'm trying to tell you, because
money,
he had motive.
Money can buy innocence. It's been shown time and time again. The only reason why OJ made it through that last trial was money. That was it.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You are so right about that. You know, and I don't know, because like I said, and then that's another thing that goes to show y'all how the media treats black people, especially black women in the media. Now, if that was Becky Sue, and when I point this out, I get cussed out. You know, just like when I was talking about the, you know, the whole prison, how they give, you know, black folks way more time, and then the affluenza white kid got off and he killed four people. But when I pointed that out, I had more black folks attacking me, the white folks was like, yeah, you're right. I agree. Black folks let it take up with some nonsense. Again, this woman has been missing since December 7th. It did not hit the national news until the beginning of January. Now, whenever it's a white woman or a white teen, she can be missing 48 hours. They got a whole special on her and her life on Nancy Grace.
Not even
that. So that needs to tell y'all that we're not a value in the society and we need to wake up.
It's in 12 hours or less. Everything will be ready. Made to print. Everything.
They got the teleprompter ready. They done got Nancy Grace out her seat. Missing white girl and her name is Becky Sue. I need to get up on this story now. The black girl been missing since December 7th. That's what shot me. Yeah. I'm like, well, damn, it's the new year. Y'all ain't said nothing.
Man, let me find out that all these rappers is lying on their gangster records, and the Reverend is actually putting in that work. Let me find out.
Yeah.
He the only real gangster out here in the recording industry.
Yeah. And that's another outlet that is making a lot of miscommunications, very especially with the parenting, because there's a lot of, and sadly, there's a lot of women who go to church who basically get caught up in that little power trip, you know, with the guy at the altar, basically looking at the at his position and prestige that comes with it, that power. So basically she puts him above her husband or anything like that. It doesn't help when they tailor the message to a lot of single mothers, and I've seen this in person, where they'll talk about a scripture for a hot second, then they'll tailor it to draw the single mothers or actually their clientele in, and then it goes right into the money. It is nothing more than a somewhat expensive concert that you go to every week, and then you look at the communities around the church and the lack of outreach in there. It says a great deal. No one wants to talk about that.
Hey, but you know, that was co-opted too, man. I mean, basically, the black church used to be real powerful, and the black church used to get it in, and the black church used to be political. Man, all that's been co-opted, man. Whenever they see progress and they see strength in numbers with what they're doing, they stomp it out, fam. So that's why the black church is so weak in terms of just pay your tithes and we're not really doing nothing else in the community no more, because when they saw that all the churches was riding with Martin Luther King, they put a bullet in his head, and they said, that ain't ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And everybody been too scared to step up.
Waiting for another, sadly, we're supposedly waiting for another leader to lead us into the progress, when really, actually, we need to start being leaders in our own right. And it starts at home, and that's the scariest part, because once you start that off at home, it spreads like wildfire, and they can't control it. If we actually had more family units in our community, and we actually rebuild a community as is intended, we wouldn't need the fucking police to watch us. We wouldn't. Because we could police ourselves.
Yeah, we're not going to have a black messiah. People can keep holding their breath. It ain't going to happen. Because, one, we don't take care of our black leaders, and we're so quick to drag them through the mud and pull up dirt and, you know, everything else. And ain't nobody about to risk their life to be the black messiah. What black folks need to do is come together as a collective and try and make something happen. When you think about even, like, with the George Zimmerman defense, how all those, you know, the white folks, and it's not all white people, of course, but the ones who supported him, look at how much money they came up with to defend this man to get him off of that trial.
Yes.
You didn't know these people. They came to they built websites. They drummed up, you know, support. They organized on Twitter, Facebook. They paid for his defense. They're talking about they raised over $400,000. You couldn't tell me it couldn't have been close to $1 million. They raised money for his fund. We can't even raise money to build a community center because don't nobody trust each other. We want to know where the money's going. You ain't donating but $5. Is it that damn serious? People want an account of every damn thing. We don't trust each other, and that's the sad part. And we can't wait for a single leader. It has to be multiple people within the community and within, you know, the structure that want to do something positive and start that, you know, that change. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Sean is saying something in the chat room. He's saying, I can't with these churches. Remember that reverend that told the girls to close their eyes and suck?
Yeah.
That's why I can't stay in my chat room.
Now you got another pastor in Africa telling their his parishioners to eat grass when we get closer to God.
Who'll be doing the most? Yeah, I remember that story. I did a video on it and YouTube took it down. Because I went off on the pastor. He got fired. You know the Christians, they hate when I go off on their people that they, you know, worship. You know, they're beyond reproach. I still get cussed out of my Eddie Lawn video to this day. So, you know, it's sad. It's sad, but you have a lot of girls out here who, you know, you have a lot of parents who feel like if they don't talk to their kids about sex, if they don't say anything about sex to their kids, you know, they won't be having it and they just won't know. Well, when you have naive girls like that who think that it's okay to close their eyes and suck the reverend off, that says a lot about the parents as well. You should never allow your child to hold any adult to that level where they think that it's okay for an adult to ask them for something like that. That's crazy.
Man, our religious leaders always have got it in on that level throughout history. Y'all remember the movie Malcolm X, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Elijah Muhammad.
I must spread my seed. It is prophesied that I must spread my seed. Elijah Muhammad had like 100 baby mamas.
Yeah.
And they were all under the age of 16. They were all shorties.
Dude is OC for that.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. But, no, tonight has definitely been a good night, good conversation. We're going to get ready to log off here. It's getting late. But I want to thank everybody in the chat room, everybody listening in. There's a lot of people on the phone lines listening in. I want to thank everyone who called in and, you know, Janaea and Track. Definitely a lot of good conversations. So we're definitely going to be doing this once a week. We're going to switch the time to, I mean, not the time, but the date, to Friday, so we're going to do it every Friday at 9 p.m., and we'll have new things to talk about, so I definitely would love for you to join us again and everybody come back into the chat room and join us. So definitely a lot of good conversations tonight. Any last words, gentlemen?
Common sense should not be a superpower.
Common sense. Any last words, Jack?
I'll do a quote and then I'll do a shameless plug. Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in the world instead of just talking about it. And if anybody likes intelligent rap music, can check me out at youtube.com/TRACKLACER414.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, he has some good positive music. So for all y'all who want something positive, definitely check out Track. It sure beats Lil Wayne.
Oh, man.
So we will definitely see everybody together next Friday. And thank you, everyone, for coming to the show tonight. I really, really appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and log off.
All right, y'all. Good to have y'all here.
Bye.